Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I'm so glad you decided to join me today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is the founder and CEO of Small Business Trends, an award-winning online publication which offers breaking news and advice for small business owners. My guest is a former corporate attorney and general counsel who went on to become CEO of a Bell & Howell tech subsidiary until she founded Small Business Trends in 2003. She's considered an authoritative voice on small business issues and has been noted and quoted in respected publications such as the Wall Street Journal. Her name has appeared in multiple top lists, and she was featured as one of HubSpot's 100 most powerful women on Twitter. Now, let's hack Anita Campbell. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by the Showrunner Podcasting Course, your step-by-step guide for developing, launching, and running a remarkable show just like this one that builds an audience in the age of on-demand audio content. We are reopening the course for 1 week only on June 25th. The only way to get in is to be on the list. Join today by going to showrunner.fm. That's showrunner.fm, and drop your email into the sign-up box. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. We have a really, really cool guest today. Anita, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, John. I'm delighted to join you.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Okay, Anita, let's jump straight into this. Anita, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I stick with things. And I think that's the biggest thing that entrepreneurs need to do and that I see so many don't do. And that's a shame. You know, I see entrepreneurs who are this close, and I've got my fingers like really close together. They're this close to a breakthrough or success. And maybe they give up or they abandon it and they switch gears. You know, I've seen some people go through many different types of business models over a period of time where they're focused on this market or that market and haven't really given their first effort or their second effort or whatever a real chance. And it takes, I think, a long time to see results. You know, this whole concept of an overnight success may happen to a few entrepreneurs, but for most of us, overnight is going to be certainly months and more likely years. Mm-hmm.
I know. I've noticed that there's like this 5 or 10 year period to overnight success when everybody finally hears about you because your business takes off. But I've been doing this for 8 years. So, yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And it seems to them like an overnight success, which
exactly,
is great.
Exactly. So, okay, when you say that you see entrepreneurs that are this close and you have your fingers very, very close together, how is there a way that you can tell that they're that close and they can't tell it? Or how do you know they're that close?
Well, I don't know that you always know that they're that close, but you start hearing more about an entrepreneur and what they're doing and their work. You know, they're starting to get more on the radar screen. But those who give up don't feel it's happening fast enough, and they maybe just need to step back a little bit. You know, and I would say just step back and, you know, try to not let yourself get too discouraged. I think a lot of times the pressure of earning a living gets in the way, and some of them don't have any choice. They have a family to support, and so they have to move on to something else. Something isn't reaping enough benefits quickly enough, and so even if they do see some progress, they may feel they have to move on somewhere. And I would just say, try to find another way. You know, for years, I was doing consulting. I was writing for other sites. I mean, I did what I had to do. And then it was kind of like one thing was my day job and my business was my evening job. And I had two shifts. And it was a grind, I will say. there were many, many times I wanted to give up. But I do feel that, you know, looking at what was happening and seeing little bits of progress here and there helped motivate me to stick with it. And so my advice to entrepreneurs would be, you know, try to measure things, try to look at your progress and see if you really are making progress, even if it is small, and figure out ways to accelerate that progress that you do see in whatever areas. And that varies from business to business. You know, that may be, have you landed larger size clients versus, you know, the clients you started out with? Well, that could be progress. And so you need to measure that. You know, are you bringing in more dollars per client now than you did 2 years ago when you started out? Or are you, do you just have more sales? Have you been able to add a team at all? If you have a web business, has your web traffic grown? Is it growing pretty consistently? You know, you do have ups and downs, but over a period of time, have you been able to see that growth? You know, whatever it is, you know, measure it and see if you are making progress. And then, you know, try to take heart in that. You know, use that to motivate yourself. I used to jokingly, but only half jokingly, talk about sending myself reports, and I still do it. And what I meant by that is, even if you're a one-person company, measure something, write a report about it, create a graph that, you know, a nice bar chart that shows progress over time, and send it to yourself, and you'll be delighted to get it because you'll see, oh, I'm making progress. You know, and those are the small ways that you can tell if you're making progress and you're this close. But can you tell for certain? I don't think anybody can tell. You know, hindsight is great. You just don't know in advance, but you can only measure things by looking backwards, seeing where you've come from. Have you made some progress? Figure out ways to do that. And like I said, create some reports and send them to yourself that show your progress.
Exactly. Yeah, you said two really, really smart things there that I really liked. So the first was you did what you had to do when it came time to start, which meant doing a lot of work, working with clients, but then writing for other people, doing things to make the money you have to do. Because it's true, when you're starting out, that usually is an issue. But also lots of times you can probably cut back on some expenses. If you can't, it's hard sometimes to just make a bunch more money at the beginning. But you can usually cut back if you had a career and you had all these expenses coming out monthly, you could probably cut back on some. And unfortunately, that's kind of a way to do it a lot of times at the beginning, is to just spend less money because, you know, long term, it's better, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you said to measure things, which is really, really smart because it's true. You have to measure these things. And like how you said at the very beginning, where people quit too soon. And when you're measuring things, even if you're not getting bigger clients all the time or more web visitors, it's typically not quitting that project altogether. It's just tweaking some things and testing some new stuff to see if you can make it then work, right?
Exactly. And, you know, and I will, let me expand again upon the benefits of a good bar chart and why that's important. And the reason is that because you don't often see progress in a straight line, it's not like a hockey stick that everything, you know, starts down here and it just zooms up to the top. What you tend to see is you'll see some progress from last month to this month, and then maybe to next month, and then maybe things will tail off a while, and you might even drop down a little bit in the following month. But if you keep measuring over time, if you were to do a trend line and see, you know, well, what's the trend, you'll see that it actually is an upward trend. And don't get discouraged just because things don't do as well 1 month. You know, revenue may not be as high 1 month as it was the month before, but there could be lots of reasons for that, depending on how you invoice, clients paying late, you know, seasonality, or just, you know, whatever it is. But there are lots of reasons that things don't always go up in a perfect straight line. Don't get discouraged about that. You need to see a longer trend.
Yeah. It's totally, totally true, because it's just the way I think whether you're blogging or you're podcasting or you're trying to get clients, that's just the way it works. There's these dips that are just, you got to slog through. So Anita, there seems to be a time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make something really big in the world, Or, as seems to be mostly the case, is they simply cannot work for somebody else. Can you tell me where you fall in those two categories and when you sort of discovered this about yourself?
Well, in the end, I will say that we all work for someone because we all have clients, customers, whatever. We have to do something. So in the end, we are all doing something with others and you have to report to someone. And, you know, and even if it's just a matter of being accountable to your spouse or significant other, you know, for your progress and how you're doing in your business. But that said, you know, for a long time, I worked in the corporate world, and it was a very structured world in many ways, and I would leave in the morning and not get back until late at night, and I just felt very disconnected from my personal life, my home. You could barely spend like 2 hours enjoying your home because you'd get home, your dog tired, you eat, and then it's time to go to bed and get up and leave again, you know, so that was just something that wasn't any one thing. It was just over the years, it just accumulated. And I became dissatisfied with that and thought, I want to be more in touch. I want to have more freedom, more control over my own time. And now I would never go back. I would never be employed by anyone else. I just couldn't possibly do it. I don't care what condition my business was in. Even if it, you know, started failing or something, I'd still stick with it and do something because I just enjoy having that ability to control. Even if I'm not, you know, it's a misnomer to say that you have complete freedom. You don't have to answer to anyone. I still have to answer to people, but I just have more control over my time and my life.
Yeah. We all work for someone. I like that. It's such a good clarification. I think if people went into it thinking that way, because I think when you have had a boss the whole time and then you go to do it on your own, all of a sudden it's like, I can do whatever I want. It's like, well, no, you have to find people who will pay you to do what you want to do. And that means you have to be accountable to them.
And don't you think you have to be even more disciplined to be an entrepreneur than
you do
work in an office setting as an employee?
That's one of the hardest things, is not having somebody set a deadline for you and you know that they're going to come down hard on you if you don't hit that deadline. When it's yourself and you're just like, oh, well, I just want to go hang out at the beach today. It's your business. You're going to end up having a job again in a couple of months because you won't be able to pay for your mortgage. It's just how it works. It's true. And then, as you said, but then the longer you are self-employed or working for yourself and have your own business, it is the thought of going back is you get so far from it. It's just even thinking about just how do people just go and do that all the time? It's a funny concept.
It is.
All right. So, Anita, at the beginning, you told us that you are really, really good at sticking with things. So now every blog post expert talks about 80-20 rule, right? Do 20% and get 80% of the results. Find what you're good at and delegate the rest. Anita, can you please tell us something that you are not good at in your business?
So let's see, not good at, I am not really good at like pulling together a lot of details in a project. You know, I've done it. I can do it. I actually like to do things in detail and in depth and am rather analytical, but I just hate following up and chasing a lot of details. And I'm just not very good at that. And unless I really force myself, and then I'm really unhappy about it. So I find that it's better to surround yourself. It's great to have one person on your team who really loves doing that and just is overjoyed by the challenge of like taking a big messy bunch of details and organizing it all and pulling them all together and, you know, getting everything out of everyone and pulling their teeth to get things.
Yeah, exactly. And was this something that you realized quickly about yourself? Or did it take quite a few projects before you're like, wait a minute, this is a real struggle for me and I need to replace this part of me?
I think it actually took me a while to figure, maybe not that I didn't realize it, but I just didn't want to admit it. I don't know. I hate to admit that I'm not good at anything.
We all do. We all do. That's...
And the funny thing is there are a lot of things I'm not good at, but I hate to admit it.
I know, exactly. That's why I love the question. But I also love the definitive answer. I love that you have an actual, like a perfect grasp on specifically one. And that's a massive part of a business, is like pulling a project together in all the fine details and following up and making sure that it follows the trajectory it's supposed to. That's huge. So, but I know that people, especially when you're growing a business, right? You just think that, well, maybe this is just a hard job and it's hard for anyone. And so I just need to keep doing it. And it really hinders growth a lot of times because we don't want to give it up or else we don't want to admit that we're no good at it. So,
yeah. And it, it's hard to like perceive what you're good at or not good at, or at least come face to face with it. I find it a lot easier to like look at others and say, point out, oh, well, clearly that's what's wrong over there, and it's the closer you get to your own situation, it's just harder to deal with it.
It is. No, it really is. So with projects though, so let's talk about that then. So you now have somebody to pull together the details of the project and to follow up, but how is it, do you have sort of a set system in place right now with Small Biz Trends that would make it so that you decide what a new project is? And that a project is a very loose term, which you can take it any way you want. But when you decide a direction you want to go into, or a new market, or any direction you want your business to go, is there a process you go through right now to determine if that's the right thing for you to do?
Well, we've been around now for 12 years. And so we've pretty much fallen into like knowing what our, what our core business is. And as long as we know enough to say no to things that are not close to our core business, we're okay. And we have, maybe 8 or 10 things that we do, which are all kind of variations on maybe 2 or 3 different things. Those things I would say are what we do well. And those are things like, we offer advertising. We may offer sponsored events, such as sponsored Twitter chats. We offer sponsored content that we create. So those are the kinds of offerings that we have. And as long as we stick closely to those, we know what we need to do with them now after all these years. And we have certain processes. And it's actually a fairly complex process that we go through, all the way from, interest and following up on a lead and quoting that to a sale, and then getting a closed sale. And then from there, we have to produce the content or implement the ads and then track that and, keep all aspects of the site going. And then we do reporting back to our clients and customers about how those things performed. And we have to market our content in between. And so there's a lot of different pieces there. And we know now pretty much what those projects look like. Like I said, as long as we don't get tempted to do something that's a little too far from those things, and people come to you with, opportunities, and it does get tempting. They might say, would you like to go organize a safari and then write about it? Well, organizing a safari is not something that we know how to do. We'd totally fail at that. So
it sounds fun though, doesn't it?
It does. And I'd love for somebody to offer for us to do that. But, luckily, I think at this point we'd know enough to say we probably wouldn't be very good at that. So we respectfully decline to take that business. But if you had a safari and somebody else organized it and there was a business spin to it and you wanted us to write about the businesses involved and send somebody on this safari just to write about it and then promote that content, yes, we could do that, but we wouldn't be organizing the safari. It's just too far out of our core competency. That's the hard thing in and of itself, just to identify what is your core competency and what is not. And over the years, we've said yes to things much to our chagrin, that we've regretted it. Oh, why did we do this? Why did we say we'd do this? We know nothing about doing this. Luckily now we have a little better sense of, gee, we don't know how to do that. We better say no.
Yeah, I guess that sort of answers my follow-up question, which it sounds like you've matured as a business, meaning that 12 years ago, if somebody had approached you with running a safari and writing about it, you may have said yes.
Yeah, because I'd have been thrilled to have any business at that time. So it's like at first you say yes to everything. Yes.
You do.
I don't care. Whatever it is, yes is the answer. And then, but then you find out that, you know, that's just the start of your challenges, because even if you say yes and you can't deliver what you said, or it takes you so long and it's, you have to end up hiring additional help, and then you find that it's not very profitable business because, you know, you don't know how to do it. You can't do it very well. And so you actually lose money on it. And a couple of those situations of losing money or just having nightmarish situations will cure you pretty quickly and teach you to say no.
Yeah. And it's essential that you learn to say no. But you're right. When we're starting out, although we probably should long-term say no to those things, we can't, or we feel like we can't, right? So until the business matures, but then does the business ever mature if we don't learn? It's the real cart before the horse thing. All right, so we're going to wrap up on something, Anita. You're 12 years now in this business, which is great. So I love this. And this thing that I like to finish on is called, or what I'm tentatively calling, the entrepreneurial gap. So as entrepreneurs, we're always forward-thinking, always pushing further ahead. In 1 month, in 3 months, in 6 months, in 5 years, in 10 years, we're going to be doing bigger, better things in our lives and in our businesses. And we're always, even before we get to those goals, we usually set 5 or 10 loftier ones into the distance. And it's always just ahead, ahead, ahead. When I get there in 6 months, everything will be better. But I find that we, as I guess because we're just like big dreamers and everything as entrepreneurs, so we fail a lot of times to stop and turn around and look at where it is we've come from, what we've learned, what we've accomplished, and kind of assess that situation. So I would love right now, Anita, if you could stop, turn around, look at all the things you've done as an entrepreneur and where you've come from and now to, and just tell me how you feel about that.
I am very happy with my choice to be an entrepreneur. I would never turn back, and I wish I'd done it earlier. I am very happy with the business that we're in. I love the business that we're in. I can't wait to get started in the morning. You know, sometimes I just arrive at my computer before I even take a shower, and I'll spend an hour just working because I'm so excited to get at it. I love that. I think along the way, I wish I had done certain things earlier, or not done certain things that I, on reflection, think would have helped the business grow faster, or not have sidetracked us. Certain things that I've done, I think, have sidetracked us a little bit. And, you know, I mean, a lot of little things. You try certain things and you realize that's not working out. And it's not that it's the work not working out is a problem. It's just that you look back and think, well, that probably was ill-fated to begin with. That probably wasn't a very good thing because it just involved doing a lot more work with very little revenue. We should have focused more on driving more revenue and done this other activity over here that had more promise to drive more sales with less work. I also wish we had done more with internal systems to automate things and make things more efficient. I think the killer among entrepreneurs and small businesses often is that, you know, you start a business, you have no systems, no processes. You're starting with a clean sheet of paper in most cases, and you have to create all those systems and processes. It's very unlike being in a large corporation where all these systems are set up and you just need to know, oh, well, this is how we enter sales orders over here. Well, in an entrepreneur's business, enter sales orders. What does a sales order look like? Do we have a sales order form? What sales order system do we enter it into? You know, and then once we've entered it into that system, what else happens with the sales order? All those are questions that the entrepreneur has to sit there and figure out. And that's just with the sales order. Then it comes time to do the production, you know, whatever you're business you're in, you know. Okay, well, how are we going to track our production? Well, okay, what does it look like? What's the process? Do we have a system? Okay, we got to create a system. Well, we got to go out and look at 12 different types of software to see if there's one we can use that fits our business. All of these things are very challenging, make it very, very hard for small businesses and entrepreneurs to really drive efficiencies and drive profits in their business. And there's a lot of small businesses are like a sieve almost, in that a lot of profits kind of fall through in the form of expenses or wasted time or manual effort, duplication of effort, duplicate entry into multiple systems, or doing a lot of things manually because you don't have automation and systems. And I think that hurts a lot of small businesses because you don't have that. So I guess I wish we had been able to implement more of those things faster. It always seems to take like five times as long to implement a system and get your processes together than you hope or you anticipate. But, those are all just more or less, I would say, minor in the overall scheme of things, regrets, if I had any. Still very happy with, the overall approach. Wouldn't do anything differently as far as starting a business and sticking with it, just other than maybe a few things along the way.
Yeah, I love it. And I agree that systems and processes, or lack thereof, in small business is probably the greatest detriment to themselves and their businesses, because they're really hard to create.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also say that you should be really, really proud of yourself, because what you've created with Small Business Trends is really, really, from the outside looking in, is really, really impressive. And I believe helps thousands and thousands of people and businesses all the time.
Well, thank you very much for saying that, John.
No problem. You deserve it. And we've got to talk about your business, Anita, and you, just in passing during the whole conversation, could you specifically tell the listener where they can go find out more about you, Anita, and also your business?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, our flagship is Small Business Trends. It is a news and information site, and our target market is small businesses, which we define as either, anything from the solo entrepreneur up to a business with up to 100 employees. And we write news. I mean, we cover news, original news. We have journalists who actually go out and they find the news and they cover it about new products, services, announcements, whatever, for small businesses. We cover tips and advice. And our tagline is small business success delivered daily. And that's what we're all about. So go to smallbiztrends.com and you'll find us there. You can go to smallbusinesstrends.com as well. And we also have a sister site you should check out. If you have small business content you'd like to share with the world, it's called Biz Sugar, B-I-Z, sugar like the sweet stuff, bizsugar.com. And you can share your blog posts and your videos and other content so that the world can find out about it. And it's totally a community site, free for people to use that way.
That's excellent. I will link to Small Biz Trends and Biz Sugar on the show notes, so they're easy for everyone to find. Are you on Twitter, Anita?
I am. I'm at Small Biz Trends. It's kind of a combination of my own account and the company account, but I do monitor it. I have some help, but I look at it every single day. I mean, even weekends, and there might be a holiday in there. I don't look at it, but basically every single day. And I do respond. I try to respond. I don't always respond right away, but I do. And that really is me. And we hold chats and other things on there. So I like Twitter. It's my favorite social network.
That's why I mentioned it, because it's mine too. So I will also link to your Twitter handle on the show notes, so they're easy for everyone to find. And thank you so much for taking the time, Anita, to join me today. And please just keep doing what you're doing, because it really is inspiring and awesome to watch.
Well, thank you very much, John. And you keep doing what you're doing too. I love your show format.
Oh, thanks. Anita, thank you for such a great conversation. I really, really appreciate how genuinely just enjoy and love your business and your audience so much and your customers so much. And I think that that's something we should all strive for in our business. And I appreciate how you shared that with us at the end. So I know I have this tendency, I have this tendency sometimes to say that when I'm going through the conversation, I come up with all the brilliant things that my guest said. And Anita said a lot of things, right? But it's not that I'm just saying that. Anita really did say, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 things in a 23-minute conversation. that really, really, really struck a chord with me. But, as I've been known to say before, she said one thing, didn't she? She did. She said one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Because you don't often see progress in a straight line. It's not like a hockey stick that everything, you know, starts down here and it just zooms up to the top. What you tend to see is you'll see some progress from last month to this month, and then maybe to next month, and then maybe things will tail off a while, and you might even drop down a little bit in the following month. But if you keep measuring over time, if you were to do a trend line and see, you know, well, what's the trend, you'll see that it actually is an upward trend. And don't get discouraged just because things don't do as well one month.
And that's the hack. Oh, so very well said, Anita. So very well said. And such a point that needs to be hit home, because and I hope to not fall into that, where I don't want to in any way be misleading you into thinking that all of my guests, or myself included, have followed this like hockey stick growth in our businesses, because it's absolutely not true. It's not how it works. And I know I've discussed it a lot, but this whole concept of the dip, as like spoken as written by Seth Godin, where everything in life or in business that's worth doing is going to start going up, where it looks like, here we go, the sky's the limit. And then it drops off to this dip. And the harder that dip is to get through, the longer it takes to get through, usually the bigger the rewards are on the other side. And so, as Anita says, it's so true, because you have to keep this longer sort of vision going, and this idea of like working in months in projects and thinking longer term, that I can't do something or start something today and expect it to just take off. And I have to work through these dips, and I have to know that as trends sort of fall month to month sometimes, if I look at the big picture and I step back, I can see an upward trend. The same thing happened with Hack the Entrepreneur. If I hadn't have taken Anita's advice like this and looked at the long-term trend line, I would have quit. I would have quit around episode 50, because it seemed like there was nobody new listening. And there hadn't been for months. But at the beginning of the show, there was a lot. And then it fell off. And then I pushed through. It took about 3 months, and then it really started to skyrocket again. But most people would quit at that point. And I love the point that Anita makes in this, and she works with a lot of small businesses, a lot of entrepreneurs, so she knows. And I love how she really hit that home. And I think it's so important and such an important message that even if we hear it, or we've read Seth Godin's book, or you've heard me say it, it's true. And all of us go through it. It's not just you. It's all of us. Everyone who's on my show has gone through it and will go through it again repeatedly. It's the process. And I really want to make sure that you understand that this isn't just people with hockey stick growth and nonstop successes all the time. So thank you so much, Anita, because I love the conversation and I'm so happy that I got to talk to you. So that's it. Another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Episode 100 is approaching. Who will be the guest? That's the question everyone's asking. Maybe not. That's the question I was asking, and then I figured it out. I know who the guest has to be, and I think it's going to be good. It's going to be a lot of fun. So the show was brought to you by Showrunner, the podcasting course. If you want to learn from me how I built a pretty amazing audience that you are a part of, a pretty amazing audience, like really quite quickly, we have a podcasting course with Rainmaker.fm and Copyblogger Media, and we are opening it up for just 1 week, starting on Thursday and going till, I believe, July 2nd. We close it down a week later, and this will be the best price you can get it for before we do the full launch with Copyblogger this summer. And at that point, it's kind of out of our hands what they charge, but it's going to be significantly more, I can tell you that. The only way to get in right now is actually to be on the email list, which is showrunner.fm is the website. Go there. You'll see a very obvious place to put in an email. If it's already live, the course for that week, when you add your name to that email list, you will get a link that'll direct you right to the sales page where you can see what it's all about. But yeah, I'd love to work with you on building your own successful podcast. All right, guys. Thank you. I really, truly, absolutely appreciate the fact that you stopped by and listen. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.